Blog Talk Radio.
The Blue Curtain, Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern. Viewer discretion is advised. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Behind the Blue Curtain. I'm your host, Sam Mason. We got a full show today. Some amazing things going. First off, Happy New Year to everybody, the Facebook Live people, the co-hosts, all the guests. We had so many good guests, and I just went through it and reached for some. And so today what we want to concentrate on is things we liked about 2021, things we wish more would have happened, and what we want to see in 2022 and what change we want to invest in ourselves is going to promote that. But we're waiting on the judge to get in, but we've got a bunch of people on this morning, so we'll go around real quick to the co-host and say, what's up, Doc Rich? How you doing?
Oh, yeah, man, I'm blessed, you know, glad to be here, man. Thankful for another day, another year. Glad to be, you know, on the panel today and, you know, with some amazing people. Everybody's, you know, compassionate, empathetic, and very professional at their expertise. So I'm just happy to be here, man. I'll continue to do the work required for the community.
All right, Claire, good morning.
There we go, got to unmute myself. Good morning, everybody. Happy to be here, ready to get the show started. Happy that it's a new year. Let's get going.
All right. Big Chief, how you feeling this morning?
Fire. No, I'm just I didn't go to bed early like everybody else. But, hey, good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Excited to be here for the show. Going to be another great year. I mean, last year was awesome. This year will be better. Man, I'm just ready. I'm ready.
All right.
Ready to have this conversation.
There you go. Big John.
Oh, man, I feel like crap, man. I feel like the way Joe looks every week, like crap, man. So let's get it on, though. Let's get it on.
All right. All right, Big Joe, what's up?
Well, since he fires the first shot, he knows
you
what he's got coming. He knows what he got coming. Let's get it going, but good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. And let's roll.
All right. We're going to jump straight into this and get moving with it. But we're waiting on the judge. We got another special guest in the house. And, I mean, this brother always makes time. And Doc Rich really introduced me to him. And he did a show. And this is a 100 person, a ride or die. And short notice on New Year's Day, you know, I asked him a couple of days ago, would he consider coming on for a few minutes? And it wasn't no. Let me check my schedule. He said absolutely. So we're going to say good morning to the legendary rapper. For all y'all that's running around cheering Little Cuckoo and Little Broken Neck or whoever's little today, we're going back to an original. And we're honored to have him. And we want to say good morning to the DLC. What's up, bro?
Good morning. Good morning. Happy New Year. Glad to be of service, good brother.
All right, appreciate you. And we appreciate you hanging around. And I got to go down. This is another ride or die that always has been in my corner. And when I say ride or die, you know, there's some people you can tell things and they tell everybody else. Some people you can tell things to and they hold it in. So I know her as Kayla. my sweet pizza party. But this is Keisha Lopez. Hello, Keisha.
Yeah.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm feeling like some of y'all a little bit tired because I stayed up and watched. You know, 2022 roll in. Glad to see 2021 get out of here and excited for a new year. You know, with a new year, there's always the possibility of, you know, some new awesome things happening in your lives and for our country. And so I'm excited. And I'm excited to be on this show too, Stan. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes, ma'am. Well, you know, I always got you because I'm going to tell you what you're doing. For those that don't know, she's a news anchor, a morning show news anchor. And this lady, I mean, when I talk about, she can go places in that community a lot of anchors can't go. People talk to her, they won't talk to other ones. And I know this can be a divisive show to some people who are resigned to their stance, but she always makes time for us on this show, and she comes real and 100, so we appreciate her being here. Now, I got to tell you guys about, before I go to our first segment, let me say this. I got to give a shout-out to my wife. Last year, her year in total for miles run in 2021, 1,201 miles in a year.
Amazing.
So she got to get a big shout out. Cause I'm not ashamed to tell y'all, I didn't drive 1,201 miles last year. So, you know, I definitely gonna have to mention that. Now I want to introduce you all to two people, actually three people. The first one, Mrs. Yvonne Carrizales Fraga, and her son Santiago. I saw their story, and I was floored.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you there?
Good morning. Yes, good morning.
Talk to us. What's going on down there?
Well, I would like Santiago to say good morning.
No.
Oh, okay. Maybe not. Santiago is my 13-year-old son. He just turned 13. He has a quadriplegic cerebral palsy. He was a 28-weeker. He's been through a whole lot. He is in a wheelchair. And what we're trying to do is we started an effort to remodel our bathroom to make it more accessible for him. Right now it's so small, it's hard to maneuver him. Well, actually, right now his chair doesn't fit through the bathroom door. So he's getting bigger, and so we've just started to try and get the funds together to get this done. I know it's something that I couldn't do on my own. Unfortunately, we lost my husband in 2018, so it's just Santiago and I that are, you know, we're in this together, and I just want to do whatever I can to take care of him the best that I can, to do it, you know, safely and just provide him what he needs. So we've just, you know, started a GoFundMe to try to get the funds to get this going.
And, you know, what was amazing in the middle of all of this is how God just brings people full circle, you know, because I posted this story and I was able to get in contact with you through Trisha, and I met you, and you didn't know who I was. You didn't remember me.
No.
So how did you...
Well, my sister and I were having a discussion, and we grew up in Northside, Waco, and we lived on North 6th Street. And she recalled 20 years ago you coming to my mother's home. My mom had been recently widowed, and introduced yourself, you know, asked if there was anything that she needed, you know, to let you know. And then it just all clicked, and we all remembered you, you know, driving by the house in the afternoons and waiting as we sat on the front porch with our mother. And it's just really something how that connection was there.
You know what amazed me is there was somebody there in Waco when this story came out, one of the news stations did a story on it. That immediately, incredible guy, that immediately jumped to the forefront and said, I got this. What's his name?
Johnny Gonzalez. Yeah, he is
okay.
He is Santiago. That they just met by chance several years ago. Santiago plays Challenger baseball, and Johnny's daughter was playing softball in another field. And, you know, he said he didn't know what it was about Santiago, that, you know, he was just having a good time talking to everybody. He's a huge Cowboy fan, Dallas Cowboy fan, so he saw a Dallas Cowboy star on his feet, and he said, I got to meet this kid. And they met and just hit it off, and they've been good friends ever since.
Now, just to show you how incredible this story of all of us connecting with me being here in Atlanta is, Johnny, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Driving, hitting the highway.
Now, when I contacted you, and thank you for helping this family, you didn't quite remember who I was either, did you?
No, I try to. We try to put them long forgotten days behind us, but no, I didn't.
Well, first off, what motivated you and the people? And you shout out the other guys who are contractors and had experience and said, I'll donate free time to help. How'd that happen, bro?
I had met Santiago, like she said, a couple years back, and then you know, I went and did a bit at their house, and I didn't even realize whose house I was going to. So I just, when I walked in, I seen him, and then, you know, we talked for a while, and then we looked at the process, what we needed done, the project. And man, just sometimes, you can't predict things. When I was sitting in that bathroom, it was just something we had to get done. So, and that's what we're doing. We're gonna get it done, and it was the right thing to do.
Well, you know, bro, and a backstory on you, and you're really a humble guy, and weren't always that way. And so I'm amazed, because I remember you, but I'm amazed at how far you turned your life around. You didn't come from suburban, you know, Waco area with a silver spoon. And when you and I talked last night, I mentioned something, and everything snapped in place to you in our conversation. What was that?
Man, just, you know, you're right, man. We came from, I mean, the poorest of the poor, to be honest with you. Me and my brothers and sisters and mom had to, we struggled. So we know, you know, not saying that we're anywhere near being well off now, but we know when people are in need, we can read that. That's an instinct that you're given when you were that low. You know, you can just judge when a need is there. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro,
No, there was just moments in our life that I can pinpoint where we needed help and got it. Like, you know, a lawyer named Ben Selman. I remember him giving us a Christmas like it was yesterday, or we wouldn't have had one. So, like, you remember those moments very, very vividly.
You know, brother, like I said, I'm real, and we'll talk later because, man, we could choose some old history about South Waco. But, you know, I appreciate everything that you're doing. I'm just floored at the effort that you're putting out there. And I want to say to the people, not just in Waco or McLennan County, but just in Texas, you know, I hear so much of how great Texas is. Great state. Waco is so blessed. Multi-million-dollar hotels going up everywhere. High-end restaurants going up over here. Home of the Baylor Bears. Home of the biggest fixer-upper show in the world. And I'm seeing this lady do a GoFundMe for a bathroom to help her son. And you know, maybe a lot of people in Waco didn't know about it. Well, now you know. And if I can hear about it all the way in Atlanta, there's no reason why Waco can't step up and make this happen. This is not unreachable. It's a new year. Think of someone else other than yourself. If you got $5, send that. Most of you spent a whole donation last night and you're trying to either throw it up or go to the bathroom and get rid of it this morning. But think of someone other than yourself. But I want to see if Santiago will talk to us for a minute.
Okay. Just a second. Hey.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
You doing okay? Good. What are them Dallas Cowboys going to do tomorrow?
Win.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Okay, look here, buddy. We got a lot of people that are pulling for you. And we're going to get this done. Okay?
Thank you.
Now, you made me a promise last night. Do you remember what that promise was? Next time I come to Waco and visit?
Yep. Go eat.
Okay, what? Huh?
Yep.
What restaurant are we going to?
La Fiesta, don't forget.
Yeah, I'm not going to forget, brother. I got you. And on behalf of all of us here at the show, you know, your Dallas Cowboy jacket is coming. And we're going to get you one of the hoodies for the show, brother. We're going to hook you up, make sure you're okay.
All right. Thanks.
And, Missy Brown, I appreciate you all taking time out this morning to be here with us and share this story and allow us to share it to the world. You don't have to be in Texas or in Waco to do the right thing. I don't care if you're in New York, Canada, wherever you are listening to this show. And Missy Vine, if you would, take time again, and if people want to donate, and I'm going to share the link in the comments, but if people want to donate, where do they go to?
They can go to the GoFundMe page, or we're taking donations through Venmo. It's at Yvonne-Fraga. We're also maybe you can put this up on your site also. We've done a Rolling with Santiago T-shirt. It's Dallas Cowboy themed, and anybody who would like to support and be a part of his Santi squad. Those shirts are available again. You can go through Venmo. You can message me through Facebook. And we just really do appreciate everyone's support. You know, Santiago, he goes through a lot daily. He had some health issues over the past 6 months. And, you know, he takes it all in stride. He's just a great kid. And, you know, I just appreciate the help and just helping me to continue to just care for him and give him what he needs, and he deserves it, and so much more.
Well, we appreciate you and Johnny being here and taking time out on the New Year's morning. And I'm going to tell you, if I didn't love you guys, I got one of the shirts coming, and that's got to be love.
Uh-huh.
For me to put a Dallas Cowboys theme, anything on my body, because I'm an Eagles fan. Now, I'm not a Cowboys hater. I'm not a Cowboy hater. I'm a loyal Eagles fan. But I tell you, you know, for
you got to do it for Santi.
Oh, you know, that's not even a sacrifice for me. In fact, I'm going to wear that shirt as soon as I get it for an entire show for in honor of
all
him.
Right.
So,
all
we
right.
Appreciate you.
We're glad to get you. We're glad to get you a picture with that in that shower as well.
Oh, yeah, bro, you know what, next time, you can best believe the next time I'm in Waco, that's my first stop, because, you know, me and Santi and already, we're going to do our guy's day out at dinner. We're going to ask him, what's your best restaurant? La Fiesta. I'm like, okay, we can do that. If you guys
yes, sir.
Blessed, thank you for taking time with us this morning. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you,
y'all be
Stan.
Good. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Hey, Stan, I said one thing, just
Doc.
Yeah. Yeah, Santiago's mother. I know a lot of times, you know, in healthcare, we often forget about the caregiver So I just wanted to ask his mom, you know, how is she doing? And that's something we have to surround her and give her, you know, the support she needs, not just for, you know, the bathroom, but also for her mental well and emotional well-being. So I just wanted to ask her how she was doing.
I'm doing okay. It's been difficult, you know, without my husband, Robert. You know, we were, you know, married for 23 years, together for 25, and, you know, he was able to, you know, be such a big support. He was there for every single doctor's appointment, every single procedure, and, you know, he always lifted me up and assured me things would be okay. And so it's been tough. But we do have a lot of, you know, family support. And it's really just by God's grace that, you know, that I'm able to do, you know, what I can do. You know, I just want to, you know, take care of him. You know, Santiago, he's, you know, I say it all the time, he's my miracle. And pretty much as long as, you know, he's okay, I'm okay.
All right. I, like I said, I appreciate it. Between you and Johnny and me, and it's been like a 20-some year reunion. And, you know, I know both of you are grown now, but, you know, y'all always be my kids, you know, because that's how we were back that time in the hood. That's how it was. So I love you guys. You guys be safe. Y'all know how to reach me if you need me. And don't be shy about
sir.
It. You know, if I can help you, I'll help you. And we thank you for taking time this morning. Santiago, make sure
you
get our reservations ready. All right, dear.
All right.
Y'all be good.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Now we got all right, buddy. Be good. Let's drop down to Kalo, my street pizza partner. Tell us about 2021. What went well for you? What did you like, not like? What do you not want to see in 2022? And how are we going to fix it?
Well, honestly, I don't want to see any more coronavirus variants. I am so over this. Like, seriously. I just found out. I'm trying not to be emotional about it. But one of my good friends, who's actually my godbrother, he went MIA. And I'm like, wait a minute now. Like, we haven't seen you, and you haven't responded, and send him a little text message in my language. And on my way out of town, I was like, let me call him again, and just again, because something doesn't feel right. He didn't pick up the phone. By the time I got to Texas, like right after I passed through Texarkana, he called, and I can barely understand him. He has been in the hospital for the last 4 or 5 days now. He has COVID. And, of course, which is really worrying because he is vaccinated, he's had his booster, and... You know, just, it's a lot. We had a relative to pass away last year because of COVID. And, of course, being in news, we have reported on, you know, countless number of people who have died or gotten extremely sick. And I'm hoping, Lord, that this year we can get it together and, you know, get rid of this virus. I think that's probably the foremost thing on my mind. I was watching a show last night, really Departed. It was really a chilling show. Some comedians got together. I think they did this for the first time last year, got together and kind of just joked about, you know, things that they went through, people went through during the pandemic and the Zoom meetings. I'm over the Zoom meetings too, but... I mean, it is what it is. I know things happen. We learn to evolve. I know a lot of people, including myself, I've learned a lot during this trying time. But I'm praying that 2022 is a whole lot better for us you know, as a country, as a nation, you know, health-wise, and I mean mental health-wise as well. You know, we did a lot of reporting on the officer-involved incidents, you know, with black men. That, you know, that was definitely emotional to report on, and of course the Kim Potter verdict that just came down. So I'm hoping that the nation just kind of wakes up and that we recognize that there is a problem and we don't shy away from it, and that we can speak openly about it and productively about it and start some healing. It's hard, even, you know, in journalism, you know, we're taught to, of course, be poised and unbiased and, you know, look at all the facts and this, that, and the other. But there is a human element to it. It's hard to see unarmed black men, young, old, whatever, being, you know, killed the way they have been.
Wow.
Am I rambling? Am I rambling?
No, you're not. But I'll tell you what, if you can stay as long as you can. I know I'm keeping you because you're a big celebrity. You're in demand.
Come on, Stan. Come on now. No, you got a celebrity on. She's Devlin's on, right?
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, I'm going to. But as long as you can stay, you know, this first day of the year, I want you riding with us as long as you can.
Okay.
But I want to go down to the DOC because this brother, I know, with the house full of kids and New Year's Day, and he does so much in the community. I don't want to occupy his whole morning. We're thankful for just him spending some time with us. And I want to say, you know, to him, what do you feel and see, you know, that you didn't like in 2021, we need more of in 2022, and just what's your opinion in here in review? Okay, I see you still here. Oh, that was for the DLC, not Dr. Okay, you might be away for a minute. We're going to drop down to Paula Cross, who's joined us, who was a host, a guest on the shows last year, and I wanted her. She does a lot of work with young people, and I just wanted her to take a few minutes and tell us what you saw in 2021. That you don't want to see in 2022, or you want to see more of in 2022. What's your opinion on the year in review?
Good morning, everyone. Hold on one second.
Whatever time it ain't.
Yeah. All right. How's everybody? Happy New Year to each and every one of you. I'm sorry I'm late. I had a little technical difficulties earlier. I was trying to do my phone, and finally my iPad popped up, so. I'm here, just blessed to be another year. It's been kind of difficult this year. Well, I'm just kind of back up just a little bit, and I'm not going to ramp up long. 2020 was a very worst year. I lost my dad that March, and 4 months later, my mom passed. It was health-related issues, no COVID. So we got through that, came up on 2021. This past August, my sister passed away of COVID. So it was pretty rough 2 years for us, but for me and my family, through it all, God has brought us through. The blessing that I received from my youngest niece, which is my sister's daughter, graduated from OU December 17th. So she is in biochemistry and in the medical field of pediatrics. She's going to go to medical school. So that was a very proud moment. So like all the others, saying, you know, I'm just ready for a new year of 2022. I'm hoping that, you know, this virus, you know, it gets under control and people will take heed of getting vaccinated. Even some that are vaccinated are still getting the virus, but we can do more to protect ourselves, for ourselves and for our families. So if we do that, we can be more accessible to the community, and do the things that we need to do for our community. I know a lot of the Waco officer here, Officer Awul. I had a lot of ties with Waco PD when I was a probation officer, which is now 20-plus years. So I knew some very good officers. Officer Stan is the man. And I'm just so glad that he came into my life. It was a post that I put on Facebook, and he immediately called me. And it's like a friendship was just stuck there. You know, it's like we've been knowing each other for many years. I've seen him out on the street when I was on probation. Didn't really get kind of beat it, but I saw him coming through, you know, through the towns of all walks of life. And so I commend all you gentlemen that's in the law enforcement field, because it's a tough job for us to do. Especially being out on the streets, especially working with children and our youth, we try to get them on the right path. And then I think we as leaders, and I want to say all leaders, you know, we need to be mindful of what we need to do to make 22 a good year for our children. You know, we need to get out on the streets. We need to walk these streets. We need to be there for our youth, because it's going to be us that's going to have to take to raise this village. Order for us to keep our children safe and out of jail and out of the cemetery, we as leaders going to have to step up. You know, that's councilwoman, councilman, you know, the leaders in Waco. We have to step up, you know, and it's going to take all of us, even here online, all of us to do those things. And so I'm ready to put my best foot forward now. I'm ready to step out on faith. I'm ready to walk these streets again. I'm no longer in probation,
right,
but I'm still in the community, and I still have kids that know me and still ask for advice. And so I try to do that for them, to give them advice to leave a good pathway of life, because they can do it. You know, Chief, you know, out in Hewitt, you know, we know we can do it. I see all the work that you do out there in Hewitt. You know, we can do it, you know. If we work together and we can make that happen, we can do it. But it's going to take our leaders. We need to stay on our leaders. We need to make those phone calls. We need to go to these city meetings. We need to be there for these school meetings. We need to be there. We need
right.
to step up. You know, we talk the talk all the time, but nobody's walking the walk. And so we need to be present now more than ever, you know, in our communities. And so I just thank God that he has allowed me to do things that I'm doing. I'm looking forward to doing more and greater things and collaborating with anybody, you know, on this page, whether it's by email, phone call, you know, stopping by, having lunch, see
right.
what we can do together.
Right.
I'm ready to make it happen.
Okay. Let me see if we got the DLC back again. Are you there, Doc?
Yeah, I'm here. I
okay,
made it.
That's all right. What's your views on 2021, and what do you want to see in 2022, and how are we going to make it work?
I'm a believer, so I feel like it's, you know, it's his will, and it's going to be what it's going to be. You know, from my perspective, I can see change in such a positive direction in multiple areas in our existence. We still living in this matrix of BS, but just some of the positive moves that I see about us coming back to us is really inspiring. And I think the paradigm is really already shifted, and GOD has moved on us as a people, and we are beginning that walk backwards. But that's just my interpretation of the situation. Just in the heart of folks like the people on this telephone call. You know, when that kind of energy starts to just build and build and build, and it's gonna be really difficult to stop us from becoming what we can be.
Man, bro, that's profound. I'm going to go to another guest we got up in the house. The judge is in the house, so everybody make sure you stay orderly. Good morning, Pop. How you feeling?
All right, son. How are you?
Happy New Year. Thank you. How was your New Year's?
It was all right. Quiet. Went out to a restaurant with some friends. It was okay. It is what it is. Now, my observation on what we saw when I was on the bench and you had a real junkie, the only way to really deal with it was to let him hit rock bottom. Because if you didn't let him bottom out until there was no way where to go but to die, he would depend on a support group, 20, 25 people, usually relatives, who wanted to help him, and all they were doing was enabling him. I've seen the country bottom out. It's about as bad as it can get. We've got probably the most incompetent and ineffective D.C. administration in Congress and in the White House in my lifetime. We've got corruption, decadence, and depravity being imposed upon the children of the country. We've got a destruction of masculinity that is becoming a paramount policy of the country. It is absolutely embarrassingly ridiculous. The People's Republic of China is putting moves on us that are going to give us an opportunity to practice saving face. And it can only go up from here. And perhaps the country has had the kick in the butt it needs to go from this miserable low place to something better. They say about our government that in a system like ours, the people get the representation they deserve. And if the people are cowardly, unmanly, unlearned, ignorant, not anxious to banish their ignorance and acquire information, knowledge, wisdom, and discernment, when a people becomes too enamored of their distractions and pleasures to deal with what is necessary to enforce and maintain their privileged situations, then you have a disaster. And that's where we are now. The only way we can go is either, well, there are two ways we can go. Either flat out gone, and in a few years, maybe 20, 25 years, we will be where Great Britain was at the end of World War II. Instead of from a major power in the world, it dropped down to a third status power, a shadow of what it used to be, where most of its glory is in a James Bond 007 movie. Now, that can be us in 22 years, but we don't have to go that way. It's not too late to turn it around, and we have to man up as a system. Women are not going to run this place. They can help run it, but they're not going to run it. Women are very necessary for the next generation. And if they don't understand that and they forget that, then you've got a holy disaster, unholy disaster. So we have to restore the yin-yang balance, man and woman, womanhood, manhood, childhood, family. The disruption of the family has become popularized, and it has become a fad that is entirely too widespread. That is not healthy. There is no way any self-hating clowns are going to undo, well, essentially 4 billion years of evolution, and specifically probably the last 3.5 million as it deals with humans, and the last 250,000 since we've had anatomically modern humans, in the last 95,000 since a few people migrated up out of Africa on the eastern coast of the continent. Now, like it or not, your self-hate should not be allowed to dictate what goes on for other people around you. So we have to restore the balance, and that's what our job should be for 2022. We've got some national elections, and the first thing we ought to do is act as independents and not belong to a slave plantation party. And black people in particular need to learn this lesson. They need it rammed down their throats because they once knew it like every other ethnic minority. The Democratic Party has no incentive to do anything for black people, and neither does the Republican Party. If the Democrats always get black people's vote, no matter what they do not do for black people, And the Republican Party never gets the black vote, no matter what they do for black people. Then nobody has any motive to do anything for us. So we have to become independent. And if it means holding your nose and voting for somebody you can't stand, do so. Just to wreck the other side so that they have to pay attention. So that both sides pay attention to a pretty large power block. We have had our families destroyed by about 4.5% of the country that has formed a cult that is not in the best interest of the other 95.5% of the people. Black people are about 9.5% of the country's population, but they have no good sense and they spend too much time on distractions. Bread and circuses, Caesar said 2,000 plus years ago. Give the peasants bread and circuses, and they won't care what their betters do to govern them. And that's our situation now. That said, Happy New Year.
Okay. Boy, that's a lot. Let me go up real quick. Chief Depp, first off, you know, your officers, everybody, say, you guys were out there last night dealing with that. And for those who don't know, New Year's Eve, midnight shift, is the most dangerous day of the year for police officers. The most dangerous. So, Chief, what's it like last year? Not like last year? Where do we go? What do we do? What do you think?
We got enough time. I mean, you know, 2021 was an interesting year coming out of the full lockdown from the pandemic. You know, from a law enforcement perspective, it changed quite a bit on things we do and things we didn't do. You know, you saw a lot more, and it was interesting because when you went into the lockdown, there was a lot more service-driven stuff in law enforcement, I believe, at least in our community, versus, you know, enforcement. We did enforce, but, you know, the contacts were kind of broken. I'll tell you, it really did screw up community policing. That's one thing, especially during lockdown, early part of 21, because nobody could come out and do anything. You couldn't have any events, you know, so you had to revamp the way that you work the system to connect with the community. So it became a little more difficult through platforms and media that we don't do. I mean, there was no face-to-face content. I'm glad to see that's coming back. I think like everybody else on the panel will mention, tired as a dang virus. You know, that's hampering quite many things. Like Keisha alluded to, you know, tired of caring. I know Doc's been working hard on vaccinating folks up there in the Dallas area. You know, for 2022, I think that, you know, there's going to be some significant change in law enforcement. And we've talked about some of these acts that they're trying to put together. And we agree as law enforcement professionals, they're no good. They don't have the best interests of most people in heart, in hand, I guess, too. So, you know, I'm wanting to focus this year, for me primarily, on, you know, particularly mental health and physical health of law enforcement. And I think from, and I'm not an expert in this, but I'm thinking from my perspective, a lot of the things that we see and problems that we have in our profession relate partially back to that. Some of that is some of these people should have never been hired. We see this week in, week out. We have these conversations. But when we do hire the good ones, when we do hire people that are qualified and have common sense and good emotional intelligence, something happens along the way to some of them. You know, not in the case of a Chauvin. I mean, this was, they should have done something about that. But we have officers who start out very well and something ends up happening. And I truly believe it's the mental health and physical well-being of a lot of officers. And I think if we can correct that, then you get a better product. You know, if you're in the right state of mind, you're in the good physical condition, you know, you don't have a whole lot of things going on. You know, you're going to have a better product. I think that you see that with these larger corporations in a certain extent. I mean, you know, you talk about Google. I mean, how do you relate Google to law enforcement? Well, if you look at their business model, some of the stuff that they do with their employees makes them very productive. It's a different type of work. But, you know, some of the things that I talk about, giving them naps and breaks and, you know, leaves of absence and things like that. And I don't necessarily know that's going to work in the public sector, but you can take little pieces like that, ideas, fit them into your organization. And I think that you get a better product, you get better service, you get, you know, a better group of people that service the community. And I think that's what we need to start looking at and focusing on, serving folks. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to be. It's part of the show, you know. And I saw the post you shared about on Santiago, is that his name?
Yeah.
You know, I made my donation. I started hitting up my SROs, the school resource officers. Hey, do we know this little guy? Yes, we do. So we're going to start working on something, or that service.
That's wonderful.
Taking care of that. And so, you know, with the gentleman of the construction company, that service, that's what makes this world better. I mean, we've got to get on the same page. And, you know, I'll say it like I've said a thousand times on this show. You need to get out of your comfort zone and go meet people that don't look like you, who are not in your profession, and get to learn people. Get to learn them, become friends with them, and you get a better view of what the world looks like. So I'm hoping 2022, I almost have to put some money in the drawer.
Don't beat me to
it. It's a lot better than these last 2 years. The last 2 years of 2020 sucked. 2021 was a little bit better, and I'm looking forward to a much more positive 2022. In our community and doing whatever I can to do to make life a little bit better for folks that are around me.
And that's 100. Claire, I see you thinking the wheels are turning.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the mental health of officers and, in general, mental health in general, as Chief Devlin said, I think that that's really important. And along with that, I was thinking about awareness being really important to take with us in 2022, that we focus and not leave incidents like George Floyd back in 2020. And we take that awareness with us and know that officers' mental health is important, as well as the community's mental health, and then training as well. All of this is important and needs to be taken with us in the next coming years and not left behind. So awareness is a big thing that I want to harp on, and mental health will come along with that, I hope.
So before we get to Big John and Joe, let me talk to Brother Sean Riley. We're glad he joined us. Sean, what you think about this new year?
Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, it's been something else. It's good to see everybody out here. Vanessa and I are here. I think 2021 for us is, Stan, you and I have talked about this numerous times, is I think people tried to divide us all year long, and they kept trying to divide us. And you know what? We got a group here of people that we're told that we're not supposed to get along, but we get along, and we have different views, and we have different thoughts. And so what that tells me is, you know what, we can change, just like the judge said. We can make incredible change out there. And I think the pandemic, hey, I'm going to turn this negative, and it was hard. It was hard in our service with the mental health and substance abuse and things like that. But let's turn this thing around, because there's a lot of innovative things that came out of that, and we have a great opportunity to make change in this healthcare system. You know, and I want to challenge and invite Claire. Claire, I would love for you to come and sit down with me, and let's talk about how you and I both went through treatment and what our negative experiences were like, our positive experiences were, and let's make incredible change for people like Jim's people out there. And you know what? Who said that? Like Russell Wilson said, why not us? Why can't we change? You know, we'll be the change of it, and that's what I'm excited for in 2022. And like Stan, I mean, this is my little side joke on October 31st. So I'm literally happy to be alive. And so I got lucky on that one, and Vanessa just wants to talk to you real quick about her training.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I want to invite Jim especially, and Stan, I know we're going to bring you in. We changed the way that we're doing trainings last year. I think it was by far the best decision we ever made. So, Stan, you know, we host trainings on substance abuse and mental health with first responders, but we also train those that aren't first responders. And we had our light bulb moment last year, and I said, why the heck are we training those in addiction separately from our healthcare professionals that deal with those in addiction? And why are we training those two groups of people separately from our first responders who deal with the same circle of people? So for the first time, we hosted a training where we brought first responders, law enforcement, dispatch, EMS, fire, together with healthcare professionals, doctors, and nurses with those in addiction. And it was the best training I have ever attended. We brought in the best of the best from the West Coast that work with our first responders. And we had first responders who spoke. John Alovio came from Texas and spoke on being a law enforcement officer, dealing with mental health and those in addiction. We had, we have a group here, a local group called Sozo Recovery, faith-based recovery. And we asked some of them to share their perspective on what it was like overdosing in the hospital, what it was like interacting with those healthcare professionals, what it was like getting arrested. Man, it was powerful. And it brought everyone to the table. And we changed the way we trained. We brought empathy to every side. So this year, we're doing it again. We're bringing in the best of the best from the West Coast. We're going to host it in rural West Virginia at the heart of the overdose capital of the nation here. And we're going to invite all of our first responders from all over the nation to come in and attend this training. So, Jim, I hope you can make it in because, let me tell you, it is powerful. I think one of the most profound things for us was our local recovery group served lunch to the very first responders who have arrested them, who have Narcan'd them, the doctors and nurses that worked on them in the ER. Those in addiction and recovery served them food at this conference. And can I just tell you what a powerful moment that was and what a humbling experience it was. And when we left that conference, there was not one person the same. So we're looking forward to that this year. We're going to start on that conference. We're getting ready. We've already got our speakers lined up, and we hope to see some of you guys come into West Virginia and take part in that.
All right. Well,
Happy New Year, all.
And everything y'all do, thanks for everything that you do. All right. Big time. Talk to me, man. Okay.
First, just happy to be here. This year, God willing, my oldest brother retires, I think, in February from the police department. And that's huge for me because I worry about my brother every day. I live far as Connecticut, though, in the worst city in Connecticut, and he's a cop there. And because he did his job effectively, and he did it with integrity, but, you know, there's a lot of dangerous people who, you know, they don't accept Stan or Joe or Claire or Jim for their job. Even though you did it clearly, they hold that against you. So it means a lot that, you know, that he retired, you know what I mean, and he gets some of his sanity back because, you know, you can see the stress on him. And, you know, that's most important. But the biggest thing, I think, well, I lost Pablo last year, so that was my guy. For those who don't know, that was my guy. That was my buddy. He protected me. He slept well wherever I went. But the biggest thing, after being 24 and a half years in prison, I didn't see none of my kids graduate. I didn't see any of these things. And I was fortunate enough to see my granddaughter go off to college, and she's out in ATL with Chief Stan. We had talked about that before.
I got it.
So And last year, last weekend, Christmas, I got a text message. And it says, happy Xmas, I love you. It's the first time my granddaughter said I love you to me, because she was closer to my mother than she was to me. But my mother's no longer here. So it was the first time she said I love you. And I actually called her mom and said, yo, your daughter, you put it, your daughter up to that? She said, no, I didn't think she was going to text you. But it meant the world to me. So, for anybody out there running the streets, yo, listen, man, be there to see your kids graduate, be there to see your kids when they first dance, their father and daughter dance, do all those things, do the proms, not miss out on your kids' life chasing after something in the streets that really is an illusion.
Well, you can't put in no plan
in
the day, especially considering the source that it comes from. Y'all gotta wake up, because that just came 100. Big Joe, talk to the
Again, trying to follow God is not an easy task. But one of the things that I want to hit on that people have overlooked in this business of policing, if we're going to look at what's one of the major problems is, how in every other corporation there is a relief valve. There's no relief valve in police. You ask what's wrong with these departments, I can tell you what's wrong with them. Look at the promotional system. Look at how the court system are not evenly played out. The chief was talking about something earlier, and I'm glad he brought it up. In the last couple of years, look at the number of arrests. You know, it's interesting because when you hear these statisticians speak, they talk about, oh, yeah, crime is down. No, arrests are down because there's no place to put them. There's a reality in Cook County. Between the state attorney and the Cook County president, they ordered X amount of people released because of COVID. Well, guess what that did? There was a spike in crime. Talk about repeat offenders. And the courts are like, I mean, now you're going to a court. It's like going into NASA. You go through X amount of gates. You still got to go through, stand behind plexiglass and shit. Even as the police, you feel like you're in prison. Like a best term. So there's a lot of issues at hand. But if we want to correct this thing about policing, you got to have another relief system. Someone on here was talking about self-care. There's no question that self-care is an issue. But again, when I talk to officers, they want to look at upward mobility. You know, what's next for me? How do I go to be a sergeant or detective or whatever the case may be? And when the system is seen as being inherently unfair, what do you get? You get those police officers, as we know, few of us on this town know, the dogs. And I know dogs that got promoted. You're now deputy chiefs, and not talking about my favorite chief here, but there are chiefs. And other departments never put a handcuff on anybody. But because of what their last name was or who it relates to or what political system they belong to, they were able to advance. Whereas those guys that I've been busting their behinds and getting the good arrest, I mean the real good arrest, even bad guys, not the low-level, you know, news dealer, they go nowhere. So you want to know what's wrong with the system? There it is.
You know, Joe, but I would say that, you know, I think we spent too much time in America reacting to what is already happening. We can't fix it. And we react to that. America does not have a preventive view of law enforcement and the criminal justice system, because A, you got a bunch of people who don't care because it doesn't impact them or their neighborhood or their socioeconomic status. And then on the flip side of it, you got these people walking around here being professional victims. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never theirs. And as the judge said, and I agree with it, it is time to get tough and revisit who we support, what we support, and why. And then follow them, because you're like-minded and informed about a certain thing. We got corrupt cops. We got corrupt judges. We got corrupt jailers. Yes, they're out there. But we also have good ones. So it's up to the people to make the effort to go meet. Don't tell me what this officer did, and I ask you which chief police name of your city. You don't know. what's the name of the officer that works with me? I don't know. How many officers do they have in the police department? I don't know. Who's your county judge? I don't know. You don't know until you get there in front of them. Then you're getting educated because you have no choice, but you worry about how you got there. You know, I mean, that, brother, I agree with you. I think I would like to see America more informed, not to what you want to hear, but to what is true. The medicine that makes you better never tastes good. And then the stuff you, medicine you buy that tastes good, you find don't do nothing for you. You know, that's just the word for me. But right now, any of you guys, throw out Judge, you're still here, you know, throw out whatever you think, what you guys think and feel. And let's just open it up now. We got, we're at that 50 minute mark. Let's just go ahead and just open it
may
up.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes, sir.
May I make a suggestion? I've been thinking about this. A twofold thing that would involve law enforcement. They need some help, and perhaps one of the best ways to get the help and also improve community relations is to involve the community itself in the process. Now, the Second Amendment is one of the shortest. First part of it says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. And then it goes on, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, a militia is historically defined as a non-professional, non-standing force to impose order. Disorder and violence in the hallway and hood demand a revival of the militia, officially sponsored and regulated. Good citizen militias. Targeted communities ought to form militias to help combat crime with the cooperation and participation of the police. They could be sponsored by city and county administrations and perhaps officered by retired or senior law enforcement personnel. This should be coupled with a dual process, alternative pathways in processing juvenile offenders. These young people who are identified as those possessing potential should be perhaps placed on a strict but unofficial probation or rehabilitation program under the auspices of local precincts. Preferment of charges would be deferred pending the outcome of the probationary process under the direction of the officers in question. There would be many positive outcomes. This would improve long-term community relationships. This would involve the officers in a positive program of identifying those young men who have leadership potential that could be turned positively or negatively, depending upon the outcomes of the contact with those who could give them an example of, hey, guys, we are all right. You just don't know us. We've got a bad rap just like you do. You're supposed to be men in your community not doing drive-bys but making where you live a better, safer, more secure place, etc. There's some programs we can do, but nobody thinks about these things because we have clowns in office right now who seek those offices for personal financial gain or perhaps for ego reasons rather than for the reason of serving the people or at least not serving the people but maybe just a small little group. So there are things that can be done, but I really have seen some pretty good things around the country with that deferment of prosecution. You just don't file the charges for 6 months or a year rather than putting them down in juvenile court or some entity like that that too often has been set up to turn a profit and its long-term financial interest are gained by making the kids worse.
You know, Chief, you're here, and Joe, you're here, and Judge, I want to get your, this is something that's always bothered me from the policing aspect of it. Some departments have performance standards, some departments don't. The one I was at, we didn't have performance standards evaluation. However, officers were recognized and rewarded on statistics such as tickets written and arrests. Now, I was raised and trained as a community police officer. Under that philosophy and concept, I'm there to prevent crime. And so in doing so, I'm going to lower the number of arrests, the number of tickets. And I never hear police departments really ever examine and brag on their prevention. Oh, we all want to say we caught 10 drug dealers and 50 serial killers, but nobody wants to sit back and brag on the fact that what you did have happened. And I think as long as we have that reactive mentality where we, and there's nothing wrong with recognizing people for doing their job, but I think in policing, sometimes it's not, you know, how many people you put in jail. Maybe sometimes you go revisit your beat in your neighborhood and look at what it was like when you first showed up. Where was Stevie Wonder could have made an arrest? All you had to do was touch somebody. That was the easy part. And if you're looking at 3 years later, and you're still trying to match those arrest numbers you had when everybody was the fish in the barrel, and you're frustrated, you're seeing it wrong. You're not doing this thing right, call police. That's just my opinion. Chief Gerald, what do y'all think?
You're spot on. I mean, going by those numbers and citations or arrests, or that's not a way to gauge performance. So I personally believe that evaluations are important, and organizationally I believe they're important, because how do you know what you're doing if you're not being evaluated on your performance? So, you know, I think they're true and they're necessary. That's just the way organizations work. Now, measures to come up with that evaluation process, I agree, Sam. It's not those easy numbers, those arrests, those citations. You know, I believe in rewarding people for doing a great job. You know, when you get a commendation, a smell from a citizen that says, hey, you know, officer so-and-so did fantastic, or they did something here and there, yeah, you reward them. But things like job knowledge, the one that I always struggle with is the preventative part, because you can't really measure performance simply because bad guys don't walk in and say, hey, I saw your squad car drive down the street. I was going to break in that house, but I didn't because I saw the car. That just doesn't happen. So that becomes one of these interesting areas. So you go on areas like where you break down crime rate in specific districts or beats. So you can do that. You can look at that. But that's not always a true good measure because, you know, crime is opportunistic. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen, you know. So we try to come up with measures like corporations to figure out the job and the performance that people are doing. And it can't be just a yearly thing. Unfortunately, I'm trying to fix that at least quarterly, right? So, and it's that stair-step system. I evaluate my second-in-command. He evaluates lieutenants. The lieutenants evaluate sergeants. Sergeants evaluate the officers, right? And then the offshoots of the organization, the animal control, code enforcement, you know, things of that nature, evidence technician, all that. So, you know, those fall under those areas. But, you know, in a smaller organization like mine, it's easy to have that one-on-one contact. You know, so it does happen more, even though it's not necessarily official. We do keep it, and I think that builds the better person in an organization. But back to the basic, you know, idea of measuring on arrests, that's not good. It goes back to what the judge says, that it becomes almost like a for-profit, you know, measure or system that's in place, and that doesn't prove anything. Just like you said, there are areas in this country, Stevie Wonder could just make an arrest if he just went and touched someone, because there's just crime all over the place and all kinds of wanted people. So organizationally, you're going to have to look at it through a different lens, get away from that baseline number performance, and find something else. You know, that's more, you know, in line with the organizational culture and the community policing aspect of the community, right? So we get those measures from the community. They tell us what they want us to do, right? Then we, in turn, that's how we run the law enforcement or protection and service here in the city, because the community is telling us what we want to do. Use those measures. That's what you do. That's how you base that performance. And you got to stay on top of that as a leader.
So, You're on mute. Come on now.
Yeah, there's really so much there. But I think Rashad has the NFL play he wanted to talk about. But to unpack just a little bit of what the chief said, completely agree. But the performance evaluation system, I had done some research, and one of the things that we brought forward was that if the police department started loading along the same line as the military, it might change how these departments look. We looked at, myself and a couple other guys that specifically looked at the military promotions, and we found more than not, the right people got promoted. So how does it work for them and not for us? And considering we're a paramilitary operation, why not try it? We can do everything else. But here's something that I said to you all earlier, I guess, and I want you all to listen very carefully. Business acumen not be applied to public sector service jobs. Listen to that very well. But works in Fortune 100 not going to work in police departments. That's not mistaken. But if you're paramilitary, you don't follow the same instructions that are in the military.
Well, I'll get you one, because if they started with that one, the military has to think about adults. I didn't want to go there, but there'd be a whole lot of cops in jail. So,
okay. Yeah, okay. So even if that, there's the whole thing of fraternizing with the crews.
Yep.
I get that. Does it work?
Yeah.
So even in all that.
But, Joe, you didn't be paid. And you're going to my next question, though. You're beating me to it, because my next question was going to be what I am disappointed at from 2020, 2021. And have no faith in this country going into 2022 is the lack of response and willingness of all Republicans, Democrats, I don't care. Nobody is addressing police reform. It's gone from a movement to a buzzword. Everybody seems to just leave it hanging. Citizens don't care anymore until, of course, somebody they know is killed and everybody wants to grab a stick and piece of cardboard, write a message and go protest. And then you got these other people whose job, and I'm not talking about chiefs right now, this is where we're a misinformed community. Nobody ever seems to talk about the city manager, the chief boss. Nobody ever looked to light him or her up. The assistant city manager, the mayor, your city council person. But nobody ever wants to deal with reform. Police reform has relatively died. Because we as citizens have not held our elected officials responsible. Some cities have made changes. A few states have made some changes. But the federal government is showing this obviously is a concern there. So what do y'all think with police reform? What's your views on that? What happened?
I don't know that I agree with the government giving up. I don't agree with that at all. I think that's a banner that's being floated.
Mm-hmm.
I think that are there some feckless, I use the word feckless, are there some ineffective, feckless elected officials? Yes. But again, we are who we elect. Unfortunately, in this country, the people with the most money keep getting elected. Doesn't mean that they're the best people. Look, again, I turn to God and go to Chicago again. We had a mayor that closed 50 schools in black and brown communities. Closed all the mental health facilities in the city. He's now the ambassador to Japan. He also covered up with the final balance. He's now the ambassador to Japan. So at what point do we start holding people accountable for their actions? I mean, and again, if we look at how it's stratified, particularly in the last few of these court cases that have been on TV, who goes to jail? Unfortunately, you know, you get the reputation you pay for. And that's unfortunately the position most people are taking. I mean, who's getting arrested? Are the Kennedys getting arrested for peddling dope? Are the rest of these big names getting arrested for bringing in dope or having dope on them? No, but I guarantee you a lot of everybody is getting that. I guarantee you that. Just call for the gun. Not have a right moniker, or he called it done in a certain place. We all know the truth. Come on. We all know that.
Yeah, I don't know why it's stalled. I know it's not right. I mean, we've gone through this and we've looked at it. what is considered perform. So there's pieces in there that are right, but the rest of it, there's no context to it. They don't even know what it is, I don't think. They're certainly not asking the right people. Is it nobody? I don't know. Any of y'all got called on the board about police reform? No. So, I think part of the problem with it, and I'm maybe it's stalled because of this, but, it's kind of like they're not really, that I know of, talking to the end user of police reform. the police. Or people that have some sense and say, hey, what do you think this should look like? And here in Texas, and again, we go back to the no chokehold and things of that nature. We already had that in place. That was already in policy. That was already in practice. We've had that for several years before that ever became a thing. You couldn't choke people. So I don't know the real reason on why it stopped. I'm hoping it's because they're searching and trying to find people to put some context to that makes sense.
And see, but
it makes it legit.
And I hope you're right. But, James Baldwin said, I can't believe what you say because I see what you do. And that goes out to these politicians, because when the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act was drafted and put out to all of us to see, the first thing that jumped out to me about that is, number one, it became a divisive, divisional tool, not a piece of legislation, because it was give the citizens everything, to hell with the cops. And I think the authors and the people who looked at it forgot. Cops are citizens. I was for every change on that bill. But what really bothered me was that nowhere in the Justice and Policing Act, nowhere there was there mandated mental health for all law enforcement, free mental health. Nowhere in suicide prevention.
Yeah, and I think that's why I'm hoping, maybe that's why it stopped, because somebody said, hey, hold on a second, we're missing half of this thing here, and that's these people, the law enforcement side.
But what we're not hearing from, and I agree with you, but you know who we don't hear from? The most powerful lobby in this country, the police union, that every politician seeks their approval. We don't hear from them, but they got all the resources, time and money and energy, and it might be union rules, whatever, to defend some inherently morally corrupt officers who commit the most egregious act. And it might be responsible for the union support stuff. That's fine. But you got good officers out there committing suicide. And you never seem to hear from the police unions on that. In the media, MSNBC, Fox, CNN, not one of these big mega places wants to sit down and put those questions to these union reps. Why aren't you not advocating for mental health for police officers?
Yeah, it's the dark secret of law enforcement.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this. I mean, this is a big topic with you, with me, with Joe,
mm-hmm.
right? Claire. I mean, the issue is widespread and it's very pronounced. It always has been. I mean, every single stinking year, usually the International Chief of Police, who is elected, the ICP president, addresses and says that they're going to deal with mental health and police suicide. We still haven't figured it out.
Yep.
So, I agree. It's kind of why I said, between my 21 and 22, we need to focus on that. That's such a huge problem. And I think that if we can get some of these things right, we get a better product. We get better service from these people and this organization. And it would lead to less issues that we have that we talk about almost on a weekly basis.
Let's grab a quick call real quick. 773 area code, 1173. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. This is Mike Denham. How's it going?
Oh, man, look at y'all. Man is up in the house. What's going on, bro?
Oh, nothing much. This is actually a Saturday that I'm off. And, of course, as Joe knows, and look at the smile on his face, I'm quarantined, too, so I'm kind of a captive audience today. But
wow.
I just wanted to say Happy New Year to everybody. This has been an incredible podcast. Incredible. I mean, you all have varying opinions coming from everywhere, some good experience out there. I mean, I just really love this. I wish I could just broadcast this all across the city.
Well, brother, I'm going to tell you this.
I'm in real quick and say, we are always talking about voting, and voting is the key. But the biggest problem we have with that is we still have to vote for the people who actually run, instead of focusing on finding the correct people to run. And that's the biggest problem. We have to find people that moral character and caliber and put mm-hmm. them there to run instead of just accepting who is running. That's one of our biggest problems right there. And, yes, I agree with Joe. I don't think that the government itself doesn't care, but just like every other company, corporation, public safety or public sector, period, you have those in there who don't care, who are not doing what they're supposed to do, and they're going to stunt those who do. Just like I hate when I hear people say the police do this and the police do that. No, it's not the police that's your problem. It's some police officers that are your problem. You know, mm-hmm. it's not your aldermen and senators and congressmen. It's not collectively a problem, but some of those are the problem. And we have to pull out the bad ones and uplift the good ones, because if we don't give them support, then it fails and they go into the background. So I just hope everybody just stops blanketing everybody and putting them all in the same pot, because we're not. Get used to saying, not the police did this, but those police officers, because there are police out there, and Joe knows, Stan knows, there are great police officers out there. I mean, outstanding police officers out there who do a great job, but they keep getting overshadowed by the bad ones out there. So we got to make sure that we help the good ones stay good, and hopefully we can push the bad ones out. And Joe can tell you later, that's now my job again, so we'll deal with that as it comes up. But I just wanted to say happy 2022 to everybody, and I'm going to fade back into the background and finish listening.
And I'm going to say, without saying where you work, but Joe introduced me to this brother probably about almost a year ago now. And we communicate regularly, and I have my times when I get frustrated and I don't understand why something isn't working, and I'll call Joe or the chief and definitely call Mike. What do you think? What's going on? What do you feel? And I'll just say, this man brings a vast amount of years and experience to this conversation. So this isn't just somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about. This is somebody who's walking that walk all the time. Those are the people that need to be our leaders. Not some folk because they got a Mercedes or a Porsche or a BMW, you know. So, brother, I appreciate you being here, man, and especially today. That was a pleasant surprise because I didn't know you were going to call. So just that you did, I'm humbled by that, man.
Oh, I appreciate it. Everything fell into place today, so I'm here. Matter of fact, I might be here next Saturday, too.
All right, brother. Go ahead, Doc.
Take care. Happy New Year.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
What we was working on last night, Stan, it should be coming in by 11:30, just, you know, to help.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. What I want to do, because I think they're already gone, so we'll hook that up. And what I'll do is let Mom know to expect that call, and that way they can do a person-to-person, man, right there. But, man, you worked on that, brother, and I appreciate that, because that wasn't no easy task. But to that young man, that's everything, bro. And that's just the kind of guy you are. And I'll tell you, Doc Rick shares the show, posts everything. I can call him and say, I want to meet, or can you get this person? I'd like to talk to this person. He makes it happen. He has always been 1,000%, I mean, faithful to this show. Ride or die. You know, and brother, I mean, all the things you do up there in Dallas in that community, feeding hungry people, feeding homeless people, you're always doing something for somebody else. You and your wife, Charlie, you're always giving to everybody. I want you to take a few minutes right now, and you talk about Doc Rich, man, because you bring a lot of emotional and professional educational experience to these issues we're talking about. So, brother, you go and take the floor, man, because you deserve it.
Appreciate it, man. All this year, well, let me start first personally, you know, and the conversation around mental health. 9 years ago yesterday, I started my journey with this mental health, And I was checking into MHMR in Tarrant County. I had self-medicated with substance abuse and alcohol since I was 16. It's just because I didn't feel normal in my own skin. You know, fast forward, early childhood experiences, a lot of toxic stress, you know, the worst form of abuse imaginable to a kid. You know, that's what I lived with and I held in for until I couldn't anymore, you know. It was on the path of destruction. But there's redemption and unearned suffering, as, you know, my mentor says. And, you know, yesterday I made 9 years of sobriety. So that was a personal highlight. Also, it was my son's, our youngest son's 18th birthday. So this is my third year, going to my third year of my mental health campaign. And I saw it coming a long time ago. This is the mission that God has put me on, not to speak just to sobriety and resilience and recovery, but also to speak out for our kids who are voiceless. And you always talk about what's in the best interest of the individual, what's in the best interest of the family, what's in the best interest of the neighborhood, what's in the best interest of the community. And we land here on, you know, police, and, you know, a lot of them are veterans. And I work at the VA. I did my mental health rotation there, and that's what helped me identify that I was diagnosed with PTSD. You know, it's something I deal with. And the work I do is part of my recovery, is staying busy and, you know, really focusing on mindfulness and positive energy. You know, I got certifications in Mental Health America, Dallas County, psychological first aid, John Hopkins, psychological first aid, and Harvard Child Protection. So I'm starting to develop programs out of Fort Worth. The kids are externalizing from the environment they're in, the household, and not having the mutual interaction. You know, technology is raising our kids, and it's problematic because kids need mutual interaction for cognitive development, socio-emotional development, language and literacy. So I'm starting to get educators and collaborate with educators. So it takes a multidisciplinary approach and a village mentality to do this, so I'm just bringing in the healthcare sector, what I can offer. And, you know, we need officers, you know, to know that police are here to protect. You know, that's to protect and serve, not to instill fear into the citizens of the neighborhood. But and also we have to look at their mental well-being. You know, are they being given the best opportunity to protect the community? So we have to look at their work shifts and evaluations and monitoring for their own safety. They don't just commit suicide once they retire. They were ongoing while they were on duty, and nobody did anything to help them. Their burnout, their overwork, the retention, you know, it's an issue. And we definitely have to live. We want to protect the community. It's in the best interest of the community. We have to look at the mental health of the officers. You know, I'm at, you know, with Grand Prairie Police Department and Chief Chesney about, you know, the community and what we have to do to get to a sense of real compassion and empathy. Because if you thought there was, if these were your children or your loved ones, would you have reacted the exact same way in these outcomes that we get, and they're bad outcomes? And while it's bad with police brutality on blacks, you know, this has been ongoing. Nobody ever talks about what happens to the, it's worse for mental health across the racial line. It's always a bad outcome, and it happens here in Dallas a lot. And, you know, it has to change. We have to stop the social stigmatization of people being, who are mentally, you know, challenged or crying out for help, criminalizing them, and painting them as villains when actually they are patients. You need to look at them as patients who need help, and that's where the empathy comes in. So I'm just continuing to do the work required. You know, that's my mission, you know.
All right, brother, I appreciate that. We're on the wind down, so we're going to go around and get some final comments, and everybody can add what they think. But I want you to just take a minute and let's consider the least of the people. Don't put a color on them. Don't put a political persuasion or sexual perspective. None of that. what can we as individuals, well, we're blessed to be here. God is good because all of us are here broke, probably except for the judge. But we're here, and we have something, a platform to talk to people who are, don't even have a house right now and don't have hope. What can we, from our hearts, not speaking for the show, for us as individuals, what can we give right now? What can we say to these people to maybe change their life? What advice would you give? We've kept him a long time here, and I know it's New Year's Day. Judge, what advice can you give to people out there that are really struggling?
Stay focused. There's hope. And if you're not around, you can't deal with the hope, but you have to do what you have to do to get your own acts together. That requires a lot of hard work. Nothing comes easy. And if your hopelessness is because you want to sit on a sofa and smoke a blunt while playing big games, you get nowhere. You have to pound into yourself the ideation that goes along with a work ethic. That's harder said than done, but it's the fact. And get mental health treatment. Stay on it if you get it. Try, hopefully, to get somebody that's effective in providing it. I'd like to make a suggestion.
Yes, sir.
Perhaps police departments ought to be restructured on the Pentagon model. That would have an interesting thing. It would take the onus of poor police performance, if such be the case, off of the police officers and put it on the heads of civilian entities who are subject to being held politically accountable by the civilian population. That is something that the rest of the world has gone to, and it basically started off at the first part of the 20th century, not so much with police, but with militaries. They did not have general staffs until a couple of decades or a decade into the 20th century. The first entity to have what amounted to a military staff was the United States with the War Department, now the Defense Department. That might be an answer. And we have to get away from making performance assessments of candidates based on media fiction and go back to an assessment of performance in life and in office as the popularized matrix. Just some suggestions.
All right, well, we appreciate you taking time out, especially short notice. And you've always supported me. I've called you 1 and 2 o'clock
yes.
in the morning, and you answered. And, when I call you Pop, you know, that's not just a slang name. You know, when I'm going through a lot of all my other stuff still left to finish in Waco, you've always stayed in my corner. And I want you to know I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Matter of fact, I went out with a young man who's a new police officer and his mother last night. They were in town. They invited me out. We had a good time, and I was talking to him about his observations. Quite interesting.
But I want you to be safe, take care of yourself, enjoy the rest of your day, and we appreciate you being here.
All right, young man, son, have a great day.
Yes, sir, you too. All right, Miss Paula.
All of you, Happy New Year.
Thank you, Judge.
Happy New Year.
Yes, sir.
All right, Ms. Paula, let me ask you, what do we say to these poor people who really have nothing but hope to cling to? And we're going to stay in about no more than 2 minutes in our response until we end this show clean. You there?
Yes, I am. How are you doing, Mr. Paula?
All right. Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
Oh, man, look. Hey, Doc's going to reach you because the young man is gone, but you stepped up last minute, brother. And since you're here, I'm going to take our – the young man's not here, but we're going to make that happen with a phone call between y'all. I can get Doc to hook up and three-way. But let me ask you since you're here. First off, did you have a good
New
Year? Did you have a good New Year?
Yes, I'm in good health, so, you know, God is good.
Now, for everybody that's listening, and like I said, I'm real big on people. It's a sad dog, don't wag its own tail. And you're a bad man. So would you take a minute and introduce yourself? And then give some advice to people out there that are struggling. What would you like to see them do?
Oh, well, my name is Reggie DuPart, and I'm actually from New Orleans. We now attended school at SMU, Southern Methodist University, first-time draft pick of the New England Patriots, played for the Patriots and the Redskins in the NFL. But out of all of those things, the thing that I like to express the most is, of course, I had wonderful parents, and I was able to do some things, and it gave me the instruments to be successful. But out of all of the things I do, you know, I have a nonprofit called Fit and Faith for Living. And so I help work with young people in the community. And so my advice, my wife and I, what we do with our young people, we expose them to positive things. And in today's society, the problem is not about not having, but as Judge Brown said, you have to be active in your life and trying to do better. And even sometimes, even if you don't have the good parents like some of us had, you know, at a certain age, you're accountable for yourself. So you have to make good decisions. And matter of fact, I have a young man, relative, and I'm sorry, but I have a young, I don't want to take too long, but I have a young man in the hospital with COVID. And, you know, of course, he didn't get vaccinated and he's sick. And he's my cousin from Seaport, and he's in a coma. And so, but when he comes out of the coma, I'm going to get involved with his life. And the thing that I'm going to do, I'm going to guide him by God's grace. You know, if you don't have a criminal record, you're in this world by himself trying to figure things out. So what we need to do as leaders in the community is when we see people trying, we need to get involved and help. And that's what my wife and I do. We'll help anybody. It doesn't matter if you're in part of our organization. But God has blessed us, man, and our influence where we're able to provide certain things for young people and just give them hope and encourage them and even give them the mental health, because there's mental things, mental illness, and they sometimes people need counseling. And so I'm just going to end with that. But my goal in life is to give back, because my dad taught me to give to people. So I want to help anybody I can help, but especially young people. Because there's a quote supposed that by Frederick Douglass, and you know, and it talks about helping young people, and I want to help those that can't help themselves.
You know, brother, I'll tell you what, you see that you just found a home here, you know, because you're about what we're about, and that's helping all people.
Amen.
So we're hoping Doc is going to give you my number, and we're gonna have a talk, because you fit into what we do, and if we can do anything here to boost, lift, and support what you're doing there, brother, that's a connection. But I'm not going to let you go without letting everybody know where can they find more information on your organization. And, you know, shout yourself out, brother.
Oh, well, my website is Fit, F-I-T, and Fit and Faithful, just like it spells, fitandfaithfulliving.com. And my name is Reggie DuPart. You can Google me, and my information will come up. And so, like I said, I want to help as many people, and I really have a passion for young people. I've always worked in the community with young people, and so, and of course, I help whoever I can. But some people, you know, you try. Sometimes if you stretch yourself and try to do too much, you got to make sure you have the resources to follow up with that. So, but my focus is on young people, so. Just reach out to me, Doc, of course, Mr. Broussard, will be able to find me and connect with me, Richard Broussard. And so that's all I want to do is help anybody I can help.
And thanks for coming on. I know, you know, me and Stan were talking Cranberry, and thanks, you know, it's New Year's Day, you know, thanks. It's huge, you know, for taking your time to come and support. So appreciate
you. Thank you.
Hopefully we can talk soon. We want to collaborate definitely for these kids.
But we have to. We all have to, because we all have something to give. Where I fall short, and like, especially on some kids, listen to you because you know your name and influence. So whoever can help the kid, you know, get them on the right track, the young people, that's what we all have to be about. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to remember that quote that I just came from. It says, easy to build strong children than to repair a broken neck. And so I usually share that with young people because, you know, if we can catch them on the end right now, we don't have to repair them later.
Yeah, definitely. And one thing a U.S. study showed, you know, so early, I'm certified for early childhood development for sustainable development with New York University, Harvard Center for the Developing Child, and UNICEF. And it talks about the return on investment. So if y'all want to talk economics, you know, it's a 9-to-1 return on investment for early childhood development program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what is it really about?
Well, it's an economic assessment, it's returning the child. It's about the thing that I like to say, you know, let's expose them. Of course, you have to get educated, and we encourage children, young people to learn while you're in school, do the best that you can do. Be the best that you can be. Every year, you know, we take kids on plantation visits to different cities. My wife and I, we take about 15 to 20 kids every year to a trip, a major trip. We'll go to San Francisco. We've been to Los Angeles. We've been to D.C. And we'll go to New Orleans. And we take them places because a lot of our young people haven't been out of their community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so exposure is very important. Sometimes you can read it in books, but if you see it, then you can have that vision and hope. And, you know, that's what it's about, giving them vision and hope.
Well, brother, we appreciate you, man, stopping in. I mean, you popped in and it turns out just the right time, you know.
Thank you.
Somebody with a heart as big as yours, you know, you're where most people say they want to get to, and then when they get there, they forget where they came from. And just knowing that people like you give back and never forgot where you came from and are willing to lift somebody up, man, this is like the perfect show.
I'm looking forward to connecting. I don't talk about it a lot, but I grew up in a place in New Orleans. This little place called Magnolia Project.
I know where it is.
It was like a war zone.
Oh, you
Yeah.
My dad grew up there.
Go ahead.
I said my dad lived there in Lower Ninth growing up, so yeah.
Well, your dad was in the war zone. And I've seen a lot, and I understand that look, it's not where you're from. It's actually where you're going. But a lot of times you need people like you guys with yourself, you know, that can assist and encourage young people that's in that war and get them out of that environment so they can prosper.
Well, I'm still a young guy, but when I grow up, I'm going to be like you. I was role modeling myself after Joe, but then I looked at Joe's hair, looked at mine. I still got some up there, so I just see Joe for wisdom now. You know, see the gray? I got the gray coming in.
And that's 14 years homicide detective, man. You put it in the work.
Let me just tell you this. Richard Pryor says you don't get to be an old man.
You're no fool.
All the wise young men are dead. Just remember that.
All day.
That's right.
All day. But see, we are, you know what I'm saying, I think we're, like we talked a few shows back, we're in search of a new solution that we could put a cute hashtag to with a hyphen in it, because everything, the more hyphens you got in your name, the more important you are. We all know that. And then, of course, we got to make it fit our religion or our beliefs or whatever. And nobody wants to look at the fact that what got us, all of us, coming up on 60 or 60 or in our 50s, what got us to where we were, worked. It worked. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know? But we're gonna, because we're down to, we're at that 15 minute, man, this show has blown by. We're down to that 15 minute show. Claire, go ahead.
I wanted to jump in right there, actually, because I wanted to thank Mr. Dupart and the doctor for coming in and saying something about fixing youth and working with the youth that grew up with not as much, not as fortunate as others. Because I was also one of those kids that had to make it on their own. So I appreciate y'all, what you're doing, and it's really important to show those kids that there is more out there than just what they're living in right now. And so I just wanted to point that out. And my advice that I want to give to 22 and for myself taking going forward is to gain awareness for all of what's going on and make an informed decision based on what all is going on, not just biased opinions. I also want to thank Sean Riley for putting me into a mental health facility in California. That actually taught me a lot about the ties between law enforcement and mental health, as well as people who have been arrested for drug offenses or alcohol offenses, that creating that tie and that bond between the two is really important. And it's really important what they're doing, creating these programs to bridge that gap between the two. So I wanted to thank him for doing that and make sure that that was brought up again, because that's really, really important. And then the last thing that I wanted to say was, kind of tying in what all we were talking about earlier, we were talking about the police reform, mental health, and the military, and public safety, and public sector workers. We were talking about how the military reform, police reform, could follow military structure. And I wanted to bring in the idea of police officers or public sector workers being medically retired for mental health incidences that they've been through that could be detrimental to their careers and what happens to those people after that. And kind of bring that into perspective and see where that goes. And that might be something for another show, but I definitely wanted to talk about that and bring it into perspective along with that awareness going into 22. So just kind of starting off the horn, just wanted to bring that into people's perspective, and I had some notes, so I wanted to make sure they got in there.
Yeah, that's a good show. That's a good show right there.
Yeah, you're talking about duty disability. And that, again, that takes a hell of an administrator to, A, put that out there and to follow through. Again, these are all systems of reform. Duty disability has been around. We just don't use it. We've had guys that go out on the hunt. It's the year. We've never had them go out on the hunt.
That black box of social determinants, where we just, in Western culture, especially in America, we don't take a holistic approach to health, and we continue to stigmatize or look at mental health as being weak, especially for men, of being, you know, incapable or, you know, basically neutered. You know, if you're not strong, you know, mentally, when you know you're hurting, really. So that's why I want to ask Mr. Joe. Is that the reason? Do you think that's the reason?
I think that's part of it. But again, in my career, having been on a few scenes, when I've seen my male officers start crying, I know those are the guys that are going to be better off than the guys that don't cry. So for me, I search out the guys that don't cry. But that's just me.
Big John, talk to your brother, final comment, what you think?
the caller made a great point, and that's if you see anyone and they go trying to do the right thing. And the reason why I want to affirm that is because in 91, I tried to start a street movement, and the cops put articles, they spoke on articles in the paper saying that, yeah, he's doing great things, he's bringing different sides of town together, but we're still skeptical. Instead of being skeptical, get involved. Because had they got involved, maybe other things could have been avoided. And because at one point I did become discouraged. Because here I was taking my money out of my pocket, putting it into the community, doing block parties, cookouts, basketball tournaments, trying to turn against each other. And instead of guys going to war, you had mothers involved in the street, helping to do the feeding for us. And the police stopped by like this, well, be skeptical about him. Instead of being skeptical, you had an opportunity to save somebody probably from the street. And there's a lot of guys who may be in the street who are trying to do the right thing, but don't know how to fully get out. So the smaller point about getting involved, helping someone, don't sit back and try to criticize and critique somebody when you're not doing shit. Okay, you get there and speak in good shape and wear a badge, you do that for a paycheck. That's why you're in the community. Why are you in the community? Because you love to help people. And that's the question. If you do, get involved. Stop sitting on the sideline, be a spectator, and get involved. And with that, Steve Devlin has the last word.
Bro, you know what? Change is not a spectator sport. You know, you're 100. Chief, come on, talk to him. Big Chief.
What John says and what you just said, change is not a spectator sport. Or a spectator. Anyway, you gotta be involved. You gotta participate. If you want to see change, you're gonna have to do so. Hey. So, you know, man, for those people that are struggling, you know, look to those that have made the change in their lives as well. I think that was the original point of this, is what do you tell these people? You know, you gotta find a Joe, you gotta find a Stan, you gotta find a Quitter. Yeah, you got to find a dog. People that have these experiences, go back to what I said, you got to find people that are not like you. You know, come from somewhere, right? And if you're in the business that I'm in, the law enforcement, you've got to be the leader and push forward to that change. When you see those people that are trying to do their best and they're struggling, you got to make a point to help them out. I mean, we do it every day. A lot of it is unseen in my community, but I know that it happens between myself and my staff. So do your part. You got to take care of one another and make each other succeed. Very interested. We talked about the youth getting in early in community policing with these young kids. That has been a show topic in itself. I'm a firm believer in that. You know, this idea of not having law enforcement in schools is ridiculous. They're not to police the schools, but they help mentor and be part of programs. I think that's very important. It's very valuable. Joe did that. It's proven to have worked. And those things need to continue. You need to put forth the effort in your communities to make sure that continues. Because that's a problem solver right there. We can continue to do that and push to look for each other, look out for each other. We're better off than
wrong. And Chief, I want to say, you know, and make sure that I know who the boss is in the house. Make sure this Chief. And I got to make sure I say that right. I don't think I said Missy.
Yes,
you know, yeah. Make sure she knows how much we appreciate her. Because I'm going to say that you've been here, and it takes a lot to call this show. You know, but if we like everybody's opinion. But we're, each one of us is steadfast to our opinions, but open to others' opinions. Now, we don't deal with nonsense over here. And you to be an acting chief, and you're here all very candid. I mean, you just put it out there. It's a testament to the type of man you are, to the type of community that you work in your department and those people that love you, because it's a whole lot of teachers for sending a Facebook message. And they ain't gonna come on here. There, I won't have it. And honestly, I think some of them think that, you know, here we're gonna call bullshit bullshit. And if you bring something out there, if you come here and spend a blue yard, we go card you out. So brother,
I appreciate it. I just want to say, you hit a very valid point. You got to be open to opinion, the other's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, if you stay enslaved, you're only very, right? You only know what you. But if you listen to others, right? You may not. We may never ever agree.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you know what he's saying. At least we can come up to some common ground, and that's what it comes down to. Is what is the common ground, right? Where can we both stand and equally get what we need, right? That's what it is. That's what this all is about. So, again, I go back about people that you don't know. I like to see people every day. Right? Sometimes I just don't shut up. But it's good to go out and find out those other opinions, right, on the way the world works. Because it's not always in your eyes how things revolve around you.
Hey, man.
Joe.
Yes, sir. We're down to 4 minutes, John. We've got to be quick.
Yeah, I think the reason why a lot of people don't want to call in or come in, you got Cujo over there, scrolling at the mouth, saying, so told you, waiting to attack. So it's kind of hard to get people to come.
All right.
One day in Chicago might do it.
Wait, let me go ahead and say, Joe Cujo.
Cujo.
Yeah. You, Joe, you got about a minute, brother. Go on and get it started. And Joe, also to your wife, you know, she gives tirelessly to the show. And a lot of you, man, you step your equipment up and do a lot of research, and she lets you have that time. And you put in more than speed here on the Saturday morning. Doing research, I call you all hours at night. You know, and we Zoom talking. Tell her how much we appreciate her, because she's part of the behind the blue curtain thing.
Well, I hope you all saw my little friend earlier that had white hat on. His name is Little John. He rides in the car with me. So, Adrian, just so you know, I have my sphere of influence. But going forward, I just want to say this. First of all, I have to meet everybody. We know this year's going to be. We have to know that. But one thing we have to remember, that the past is prologue. So if we don't learn from the past, we don't know who we're going to be. Human development comes about when we are open to and talking to those who are not like us, those who don't think like us. So if we're going to go, not if, but we are going to go forward. We're going to beat this COVID. We're going to beat this other thing called racism back to where it should be, in Pandora's box. And we are going to make this a better year and a better country.
All right. So I want to thank Judge Brown, the DOC, and then, I mean, God is good. We, NFL ain't up in the house.
I know you don't have a lot of time.
Come on, bro.
If it's okay to invite my community with you guys, because we have a large community of young people and their parents, and I think this will just be a wonderful opportunity for them to get a whole spectrum. And this is what we want them to hear. So if that's okay, let's collaborate on that.
Yeah, we will. I'll tell you what. You pick a mutual time. We'll do a forum where they can be on the Zoom with us. And you got between
right.
You get Joe and the chief and Claire, probably about 80 years of police experience. John has the other side of experience he can bring. And they can get to hear from people, not TV and Hollywood. This is what's up. But yeah, they get to hear.
Okay.
All right. And we're going to make that happen. So, Doc Rick, appreciate you, Doug.
I get it. You know me, I'm always.
I know.
I know. I get it.
Yeah, it's like a paint can. I heard that little Bob, you already planning. You're scheming. You know, but thanks, everybody. I appreciate you guys. Enjoy your new year. Happy New Year, y'all. Be safe. And see that lady talking that mess, but that's okay. I got it like that. And we're going to go ahead and get out. Everybody, have a good day. Appreciate y'all.
Hey. We got a guy. See you.
Happy New Year, man. God bless you.
Only
viewer discretion is advised.